Good morning and welcome to the new media show. And yes, believe it or not, it is going to be a sunny, beautiful day here in Honolulu following our, well, at least on Oahu, the non-event, the hurricane slash get ready slash it's a tropical storm slash I think I got a quarter of inch of rain. So
that's all good news, Todd.
It is. Sure. It is now. Yeah. It doesn't take away from the Big Island, which is 300 miles or so south of us. They got whacked pretty good. And but, you know, it came ashore as a, you know, basically a level one or condition, whatever they call it, category one hurricane. And then it very, very quickly dropped to a tropical storm. And so they've had some power outages and flooding. They got like 12 inches of water in one location. So, you know, we're used to getting rain. I don't know if that much rain in that short of a period, but we're good. But good morning, everyone. And Rob, welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be here another Saturday. It's, you know, we always talk about the weather, so I guess it's really appropriate to talk about your hurricane. I don't have a hurricane in Seattle. I'm just, you know, it's sunny and warm. I have no complaints. You know, I fly to LA, it's sunny and warm. No storms, no nothing. So it's actually pretty boring, actually.
It's pretty historic because it's been 20 years since we officially had like a hurricane here. And we've had plenty of tropical storms, but we got another one that's coming, but I think it's going to go north, so it's going to affect us. But enough about the weather. We want to welcome our guest this morning. And, of course, Rob, I'll let you introduce Esprit.
Well, Esprit is a very enthusiastic new media person. She's just about to launch a new podcast, and I wanted to bring her on board just to talk about that process that she went through in trying to kind of come up with the concept, do all the research, and what kind of battles that she's gone through. The actual show, and I'm not going to take all the thunder away here, is she's done a really great job of building a community around the LA tech startup scene. And you know, the website is We Are LA Tech, and so she's trying to build a podcast around that. And so I'll pass it off to her, and she can kind of fill in all of the other details. She's a very busy person, doing a lot of stuff. There's a lot of great stuff that she's doing. So welcome, Esprit.
Hi, thank you so much, Rob and Todd, for welcoming me onto your show. I don't know whether I'm more nervous being on this podcast or creating one.
But they're all exciting stuff, right?
Yeah, it's really exhilarating to be a part of the podcasting community. And this is my podcast. I had this made in honor of Rob, actually.
Oh, so nice.
This movie poster is dedicated to Rob and Jessica, who have been huge supporters of me creating my first podcast. I had no idea about anything podcasting, period. I'd done video production in the past. I had a YouTube channel really early on. It's nothing like that. Somebody was telling me the other day, oh, podcasting is just like creating a YouTube channel. This is very funny seeing me in the screen right now. But it's not. It's a completely different community, a completely different action steps in order to have a successful podcast or have a successful YouTube channel. So I have to learn everything from scratch, which is awesome. It's really awesome. And I'd say the main thing that I've been doing every day is just taking action. I don't want to do anything other than take steps forward. I think in the past, I've really focused on being perfect or doing things the right way. I don't want to worry about doing things the right way. I just want to do things.
I think that's smart to get started, is just do things. That's the hang up so many folks. But, you know, I think just for, you know, to back up maybe two steps, why don't you give everyone a little background about yourself and, you know, what led you to this point of starting your own, starting a show?
Sure. Well, I felt extremely just passionate about my second company. It was an action sports media company. That's where I eventually had a YouTube channel when YouTube was formed. So it was before YouTube was even formed. And it was it was the most wonderful experience of my life. So when I came across podcasting in the time from that company, and I've built other companies in that time as well, and I've gotten so many different types of experiences of what I liked and what I didn't like. I've had a company I didn't feel passionate about versus my sports company I felt highly passionate about. And a few years ago, I created a community calendar under the name We Are LA Tech that really just aggregated everybody's LA startup events in the city so that the community would have one go-to resource to know what's happening and where to go to. And people just found it helpful. It was never any charge. I had it on a Google Calendar so people could pull the feed and put it on their calendar for ease of use. And I loved interacting with everyone. It was really exciting to, one, be reminded of what it was like to when I had my second company. My first company was a scuba diving shop that I call, you know, how you have a starter house. It was like my starter company. So I never really talk about that one too much. But having that second company and then meeting other people just as passionate about their company, it was really exciting to connect with people. And it reminded me of that experience. And We Are LA Tech and like discovering podcasting, it seemed like there were a lot less barriers than in producing video. So with my sports company, I produced a lot of video, and with a podcast, not having to edit video was a huge deal for me. I've been moderating panels for the last couple of years, and in moderating panels, I saw what a positive impact I was creating on people around me, and that was just such a wonderful gift to have. And so I see podcasting as an extension of moderating panels. So it's this combination of having to do my second company that I felt so passionate about, doing that over again when it comes to media production and really just, you know, content creation, and then also moderating panels, being able to create that amazing impact on my community and people I care about.
Definitely. Are you naturally like this all the time, all excited? And
are you serious? Because you guys, yes. I am so nervous. I'm looking at myself in the screen, which is making me more nervous. I'm trying not to look at myself. I don't know how to get rid of the screen. Call me like I'm supposed to be like the go-to in technology. I don't know how to like not look at the screen right now without messing anything up. So I don't want to touch anything. Yeah. So yeah, I'm nervous and I'm glad I'm coming off well,
don't worry.
Well, it's all new experiences here, that's for sure.
Well, you know, it's your energy is contagious because I definitely needed it this morning, so it's good. So
there's a few things, Todd and Rob, that I'd love to share if it's okay with you and your audience. I really want to share how I went about doing it. So if anybody else wants to at least take the steps that I've taken so far, because what I've found in my discovery process is there's a lot of temptation to be perfect all over again. And I, from past experiences, I found that trying to be perfect and doing everything the right way didn't really get me to where I wanted to go. And it's a lot more rewarding and less stressful to just keep moving forward and make mistakes as I go and learn from them. So if it's applicable, I'd love to share the different tools I've used to get there and the great suggestions, you know, Rob has given me along the way. And in listening to your podcast, it's some of the same questions that I'm still doing research on is, you know, Android users and podcasting. What are we going to do to solve that? There's a few things. I haven't even got into the hosting stuff yet, and you guys are expert in the hosting. Rob keeps saying, have you loaded it yet? I'm still working on my cover art over here, so I need to upload it. I have I heard your whole debate over SoundCloud. I do have it on a private link with SoundCloud. I didn't know that was such an issue in the podcasting world. So it's been really, really
stuff,
great,
right?
Learning from your podcast.
Well, we definitely want to hear about your entire process. But I think the thing I really want you to talk about a little bit, too, is we've seen a, I wouldn't say a lack, but fewer ladies producing content. And we'd like to see more. And I'm excited just from the aspect that, you know, we're going to have another lady doing a show and, you know, how to encourage, you know, and, you know, I think too, what happens, and I'm just speculating because, you know, men don't know anything about women at all.
you already know a lot.
generally and I don't want to be stereotypical here, but, you know, I know how I am and what I know what my wife does. And she definitely has a lot more things kind of going on and it's a little bit busier. I'm, you know, kind of focused on business and sure, you know, the kids and stuff and everything. But how, what was your, you know, obviously you've had a business in the space already, but as you talk about your process, I think talking to the ladies would be really important here.
Well, I've never defined myself as a female entrepreneur. I think defining myself as a female entrepreneur, it would be holding me back. I always have just thought of myself as an entrepreneur since actually I was a young girl. I would see empty office buildings and imagine what I could put in them. I was quite a strange 4-year-old, but that is indeed what I did because I could remember some of the businesses I thought to put in them. And but one thing I would say is when I was first starting out building companies, not just imagining them, I didn't believe in myself enough. And I think this may have to do with the way, I don't know, maybe it's magazines. We see this like level of perfection and we think that we can't get there. So then we don't try at all. I've been... You know, I'm so grateful to come from 2 risk taker parents. So I learned that it's okay to take risks and to be entrepreneurial. But maybe a lot of women aren't exposed that it's okay to take risks, okay not to be perfect. It's okay to believe in ourselves. I'm not sure exactly what it is because I don't identify that. With that, I could only say that I do identify with at one time. I felt too that I'm not the leader I can be. I don't know how to be the leader. When I raised money, I was the first thing I thought, let me go hire people that know more than me. But you know what I learned from that whole experience was if I just trusted my intuition all along, there was no one more passionate about my company than me. So, and people resonate with passion. They don't want like a seasoned sales pitch. They want to hear people communicate from the heart. And if there's one thing women know how to do, it's communicate from the heart. So I would just encourage my fellow females out there to take the chance, believe in yourself as much as possible. I use a daily gratitude app called 5-Minute Journal. I absolutely love it. I do it every morning and every night too. And my main intent in doing it is just to build my own self-esteem and remember what I have to be grateful for so I could feel really confident throughout the day and improve the things that I want to improve. And just take chances and learn from your mistakes. And I heard this, you know, I may have heard it on your podcast. I heard it on one podcast because I've been listening to podcasts like crazy. Somebody said great things are created by people who think outside the box and do things that haven't already been done. So it's like even in doing this podcast, an LA startup podcast doesn't exist. It hasn't been done. I don't know how it will do. I hope it will do great. I hope it will deliver so much value to so many people, but I'm really excited about it. And I'm going to share that story with as many people as possible. And hopefully people will resonate with it. And I think as long as other people out there with a dream take a chance, they'll be able to achieve the same thing.
You know, I had to, this is so ironic because I had a meeting a couple of days ago with a local angel. He's a buddy of mine. He came over and hang out and we were yakking. And he's like, where do I go to listen to podcasts that are just about startups? And him and I were kind of talking about that and talking it through and we were like, they're really, at least, you know, when you think startup, you immediately think of the Valley.
Right.
There really isn't, besides a couple of folks who I think do pay-to-play versus just go and meet someone and talk with them. I said, I don't know if I can really recommend one to you. And he's like, man, I said, there's an opportunity there. So I think...
Here I am.
Your time
call
is.
Him. Well, tell him I exist.
Yeah,
I
don't exactly. You know, this new show, and then there's you know, our Robert Scoble does a show, and this week in startups with
right.
Jason Calacanis is another
huge
one.
Huge following.
But
yeah.
You know, those two guys are kind of do their thing, and then what I'm yep. really looking for, you know, him and I talked about those two shows, and mm-hmm. the thing we're kind of looking for is okay, who's really. Given a fresh, because, you know, Robert and Jason both, no matter what, they have their own agendas.
Oh yeah,
you know, and I want a non-agenda based show. I want someone that's going to be, you know, going to tell me the way it is, you know, and go in there and get, you know, and maybe follow a startup over a series and not just see them once, but come back 3 months later or be in the office hanging out and just do some stuff. But anyway, we're taking away from your story.
No, I'm actually really glad you brought that up because a lot of people have asked me, well, who are your competitors? The We Are LA Tech competitors. And my answer is We Are LA Tech doesn't have competitors, right. But not to sound naive, because typically in LA startup world, that's a very naive statement. What I mean by that is We Are LA Tech is a concept. You both are a part of We Are LA Tech. You listening, you're a part of We Are LA Tech. I'm a part of LA Tech. We are LA Tech, hence the name. And so We Are LA Tech is literally a concept, a safe haven, a non-biased resource for anyone moving to Los Angeles, anyone in Los Angeles, an organization, a startup, an investor, an LA influencer, a person with a job that, like, unfortunately is unhappy in their job and they live in Los Angeles and they want to be a part of the LA startup community. Anybody looking to be an LA Tech is We Are LA Tech. And I, like last week, I had someone who said, my dream job is to work for such and such startup. We Are LA Tech Twitter reached out to that startup, got the contact information for their job. Another person tweeted, We Are LA Tech. It's at We Are LA Tech. And because of certain access that I have, I'm not even exaggerating. This was so exciting. I think Rob saw me the day after. So they got funded because I posted them on this site. And it was literally, I didn't know the founding team. It was because they posted, they tweeted at We Are LA Tech. Relationships are really important to the whole We Are LA Tech team. I'm grateful to have teammates doing this with me. And so we tweeted them back. And then I personally had access to the site. I uploaded their startup to the site. And the site's called Product Hunt. And because of Product Hunt, they were able to get funded. Another LA startup was pre-launch. There's a great site called Betalist for pre-launch. I emailed the founder of Betalist. I said, there's this great company in Santa Monica. I'm hoping you could help feature their startup before they go live. And that was a great relationship that benefited them. Like, there's so many opportunities for LA startups. It's just based on knowing resources exist. And my mom always says half of the world is looking for the other half of the world, but they don't know how to find them. And I love creating mutually beneficial relationships. I'm crazy about it. Watching people succeed is so exciting to me. So essentially, all We Are LA Tech is creating like a crazy sea of mutually beneficial relationships, whether it's via the podcast or reaching out to us via Twitter or whatever it is. But it's a concept, a safe place, a non-biased resource for people to get whatever they need to become as successful as they want to become.
That's great.
Whew, that's a great elevator pitch.
Wow.
Yeah, sold, that's good. Done. Sold. Let's write a check.
I think we need to, I think we know where to go now. That's for sure.
So go ahead, Rob.
Go ahead, Todd. I was just going to mention, let's jump into talking about, what your process has been for your podcast and what your struggles have been. I know you're trying to figure out what your artwork was going to look like, what the show concept was. And I know you have a list of things you want to go start going through. So why don't you go ahead and jump into that?
Totally. I would love to share this just so so people who kind of are in the position that I was in before when I tried to conquer the world overnight. I'm doing it a different way this time, and I enjoy it so much more. So I just want to share my story, so maybe that may alleviate some stress from them as well. So what I did is I was terrified. I was terrified to start another project. I was so beyond in love and am beyond in love with my sports company that no longer exists, that I was terrified to put myself out there again and to really just give it my all. So I said, you know what, Esprit? I'm just going to make the commitment to myself to take one step at a time. And I mean it. Like, I was sick a few days ago, and I said, what step are you going to take today? It doesn't matter that you're sick. You're still going to take a step. And I did. And even you guys, this poster is taking a step. So This is how I got there. So first I realized, I asked myself, what are the things that in the world that, you know, I feel the most passionate about, that excite me in my professional life? And it was connecting people and moderating panels. I mean, the joy I get from someone coming up to me years after I've moderated panels saying that they still remember the event and that they still remember the lessons and I created such a positive impact, I can't tell you what a gift that is to hear. So I saw this podcast as I mentioned earlier, as an extension of moderating panels. So I'm like, okay, how do I do that on a podcast? Well, first, I'm going to have multiple guests, of course. So this whole issue of what mic to use, which I'm still doing research for, is because it's quite difficult to know what mic to use with multiple people. So where I am so far, because I haven't finished my research whatsoever, is I got the blue snowball. It was between the blue snowball and the Yeti and the Audio Technica. I think it's 2400 or something. Mm-hmm. The reason I ended up going with the blue snowball was just because the Audio Technica wasn't in the store and the Yeti was a lot more expensive and I wasn't sure which one would be great. This is not going to be great in end, but it's okay for right now. And all I need is okay to keep moving steps forward. What I did to get there is I watched, oh my gosh, hours and hours and hours and hours of YouTube videos listening to the sound of all the different microphones to figure out. And I think I'm going to actually write up a blog post because I took vigorous notes on all the research I did, a blog post on where I found all my information so people can make what the right decision is for them. But so blue snowball. And then I realized that I need a place for people to go once I put this podcast up. And I didn't even know, I still don't really know how to upload into iTunes. But you can't upload into iTunes until you want to upload your first episode, which my first episode is done, but I don't want it to go live yet. So that's when I started using SoundCloud for a private link to send certain people for feedback. And then I also created a landing page, which is huge. I've been getting signups every day. What a landing page is a website where you could have people enter in their email address and be notified when your podcast is live. And what I used for that, it took 2 seconds. It was a program I use called Lead Pages. It's super inexpensive. I love it. I use it for a lot of different stuff. And it's been great. And literally, I am getting signups all day long. It's really exciting. I synced my signups to my phone. I don't know if you guys can see my phone. Because I with Zapier, there's this program called Zapier, because every time someone signs up, my phone gets a text message. And it's very exciting to get a ping that someone new signed up again. So it's like I do a little celebration. The other thing, speaking of celebration, is with my sports company, I accomplished so much and I never stopped to celebrate, ever. I remember I raised money and then I was like, what's next? I barely stopped to celebrate that. And that's a huge deal. But at the time, I just constantly, what's next? What's next? What's next? Instead of really stopping. So yeah, I got the poster made. I had a glass of champagne last night. Like every single time I take a step, I do something. I took myself out to sushi last week. Like every step, it's like, I want to celebrate because it's a big deal. It's scary. Like I am terrified every step. I'm terrified being on this thing right now. I'm terrified getting the wrong mic. I'm terrified no one will listen. Like who cares that I'm afraid? Just keep taking the steps, you know? So I'm going to celebrate that I'm proud of myself for taking the steps. And I think a lot of that has to do with filling in the 5-minute journal app that I've been using, because it keeps me mindful that this is very exciting. And then so I created the landing page, and then I started sharing the story with my network, with my friends on Facebook, on Twitter, on LinkedIn. I've been sharing the story like crazy because I'm excited. When I went into the printing place, I danced around the printing place like crazy. I wish I had video of it. I think I was about to start crying. Like it was great. So I posted it. Why not celebrate with my friends? So I posted it. I said, look, everyone, like I got this. And everybody thought it was so great. They asked me where I had it printed. When it comes to audio editing, Because there's things that I've learned, there's going to be background noise if you have a poor mic, or maybe the second speaker won't be, their voice won't pick up because I have a poor mic. So Rob was kind enough to recommend a program called Levelator, which, okay, classic. I saw Levelator, the install link. And I was I was freaked out. I thought, oh no, I don't know anything about audio engineering. So I was really hesitant to install it because I'm like, here, I need to learn something else and I don't want to worry about being perfect. And then Rob sent me a reminder. He said, have you done Levelator yet? I was like, okay, I'll do it today. I'll do it today. You guys, I install Levelator and all you do is drag an audio file into this box. It's the easiest, stupid, simple thing that has ever existed in my whole technical life, and then it's fixed. It's crazy. So, I mean, Levelator is a go-to for anybody doing anything with audio. I can't believe I put that off. So there was Levelator. I, again, had different arrows. So because I didn't know how to use a microphone, I kept playing with the microphone settings when I was doing my first episode. So the whole episode had different levels of audio. It was terrible. So I found someone on a website called Fiverr.com, where you could find people for $5. No joke. And there was one guy that said, and by the way, if anybody wants this information, I don't have the links in front of me. I'm more than happy to send it to you guys so you have all the links so you could use all the same people that I've used, or I could put it somewhere. It's up to how you want to handle it. But I'm more than happy to share everything, who I contracted, et cetera, so forth. But so I found this guy on Fiverr, said podcasting. He was great, had great feedback. And I said, hey, can you edit this? There's all these different levels. He did a fantastic job making it sound way perfect for my needs, because I mean the audio is pretty messed up, so it's as good as it needs to be for that first episode. Then Rob listened to the draft, so amazing, thank you. And he goes, "Where's your intro? Like nobody knows what to expect because you need to have an intro," which I did not know. Thank you, Rob, for telling me I need to have an intro. So I looked, and this Fiverr's gigs had an intro gig. So I'm like, I wrote up a little script. And then I sent it to the guy, and he did an intro for me, and I thought it was great. I asked my friend who's a DJ if he can make a track because I've been listening to podcasts like crazy. I'll press the featured section in iTunes to see who's featured. I put on my Facebook, "What's your favorite podcast?" to download all the podcasts that my friends listen to, because I want to make sure that I'm as exposed as possible to see what's going on out there. And so I hear that they have music. There's a podcast I love called the one I mentioned before, Product Hunt, that site. They also have a podcast, and I love their music. So I sent that to my friend Jay, who's a DJ. I was like, hey, can you make me – he's a Jay Huffman Live. That's his DJ name. And I said, hey, can you make me a track? So he made me a track for the podcast. And then there's also editing, like clipping stuff off, because there's a while in the podcast where – I was saying, test, test, is this working? Is this working? Test, test. And I need to cut that out. And I didn't really want to leave it to a Fiverr guy to tell him where to cut it out. I'd rather have control over that. So I just wanted him to master it and polish up, enhance, whatever you call it. Mastering, I think that's the right word for it. Master the audio. So so I found two resources that I've liked so far, because a lot of the resources out there, I felt in all the research I did, the podcasting blogs would teach you how to set up an in-home studio or a legit studio. I really like to keep it simple. I want to be on the go. Last year, I went backpacking for 4 months in Europe, meeting with startups in Europe. If I ever want to do that again, I don't want to be locked in a studio. So I'd really like to start from the get-go being an on-the-go podcaster. And there's not much resource for on-the-go podcasting. So the two things that I found so far that have been great have been Boss Jock. Yeah. Is it Jock Boss or Boss Jock?
Boss Jock.
Boss Jock. And Boss Jock, Sound Studio has been great. And let me tell you, the customer service at Boss Jock, I think people should buy Boss Jock just for the customer service alone, even if they never use it, because you'll be like, this is how a lesson on how to do customer service, because, like, I mean, 20-star, like, Ritz-Carlton level customer service, I've never seen such a thing. And the app is only, I think, $10, maybe less. It's not expensive. And then Sound Studio has been great, and they've been helpful as well. So I ended up using those two programs. Or installing those two programs. So far, I've been using Sound Studio because it's on my Mac, and the Boss Jock is on iPad, which I don't have, and my iPhone, and I'm not ready to be that mobile yet. So I've been using Sound Studio, which has been super easy to use. Feels a lot like iMovie. And then I told you I uploaded it to SoundCloud. And I think that's a lot of, I don't know, I'll probably think of more to do with my process. But it's been great. Here's the most important part. So I find in the startup world, some people get involved in business because they want the Tim Ferriss concept of that dream lifestyle and that four-hour work week. It is just not exciting to be in business if you are not excited about your business. The thing that really got me going is when I did my first podcast, and I was really tired when I got to my guest house in Hollywood, and I was like, oh man, I don't know if I'm going to be any good on this podcast. And when I started doing the podcast, I felt alive and I knew that this is right for me. When I was editing the podcast for hours on hours, because I didn't know how to use any editing software for audio, I loved it. I thought it was exciting. I must have listened to my own podcast a million times. It was crazy. I mean, I'm proud to share my podcast. It feels good. It's Richard Branson says, if you don't have a brand that you want to screen from the rooftops or the mountains or whatever it is, like, then what's the point in having it? And that's how I feel about We Are LA Tech and the LA Tech podcast. I feel that I'm so proud of it. I want to share it with everyone. And most importantly, I want it to be this huge value in everyone's life. So what I want to focus on is, what do you want out of the podcast? So what I was thinking, which is epically just so cool. Okay, so you know when you're growing a company and you don't know, I know this because I went through this, you don't know who to go to, who to get advice from, or how to even access people. People are so busy. How do you get time with them? So what I thought would be so cool is to have mentor sessions on the podcast. So I've been blessed enough to now, having been in business for a while, have a great network of people, some of the world's most influential people, that they'll take my emails and my phone calls. But other people may not be able to have access to these people. But I love those people just the same, the people that are just starting out. So ask the LA Tech startups, hey, who do you want to meet? Who do you want to mentor a session from, and why? Because I don't like that whole celebrity thing. There needs to be a mutually beneficial reason why you want to meet with that person. So they'll share why. And then if it makes sense, connect them with the mentor that they desire to be connected with. But the beauty in it is having that mentor session on the We Are LA Tech podcast, so everyone can benefit from them. So you're not one startup is benefiting, several startups are benefiting around the world. And that is just, come on, how cool is that? I mean, these people's times are worth tens of thousands of dollars. And to think that, like, so many people could benefit from this mentor session, because I'm sure tons of people have the same questions. But when we're sitting in this box, like the one I'm sitting in right now, it's isolated. And sometimes you feel like you're alone doing something and no one can relate to you. And so when you're hearing someone else, I'm sure tons of people have the same questions. So that's really exciting to me. It's exciting to me to be supportive of the startup, the LA startup community that's growing here. It's thriving. I've watched it go from nothing when it was like 20 of us to what it is today, and still growing. And yet even yesterday alone, I was at an event for a startup called Trey. They order drinks easily from a bar, and the founder said he had just moved here. And to hear stuff like that, that's where he's like, I don't know anybody. And I'm thinking, oh, this is awesome. This is where We Are LA Tech comes into play. Just, you know, what do you need? I'm here for you. You know, we're here for you. So, yeah. Well, let's see. Is there anything else? I don't know. But as I remember it, I'll tell you.
So, Esprit, tell us a little bit about the kind of LA Tech startup scene. It's mainly centered in Santa Monica. Is that correct? Or how big is the kind of tech scene in the Los Angeles area right now?
Sure. Well, it started, it's mainly Santa Monica, but for me, We Are LA Tech is considered everything from Ventura to San Diego. I know even San Diego, though it's not classically LA. It's okay. We give them love. And from downtown / Pasadena all the way up to west to Santa Monica. So you have Marina Del Rey, Venice, et cetera, so forth. So that's the scene. So I don't remember what year it was, but quite a while ago, it was about 20 of us that would hang out at someone's house to do barbecues. And it was fun. And then since then, in my opinion, now I could be wrong, I'm one opinion out of many, but I really think it was three influencers that created what LA Tech is today. It was Tech Zulu, Digital LA, and Coloft. Tech Zulu is a media company I'm really proud to be a contributing journalist for. I moderate a lot of their panels. Tech Zulu was there when I had my sports company before there was any LA tech scene, and they really captured everything. They had their heart set on really exposing LA tech to the rest of the country. Digital LA consistently put on events for the community to get together. And if I remember correctly, Kevin had mentioned the very, very first Digital LA event, it was like a handful of people. And now it's like hundreds of people. Digital LA also created Silicon Beach Fest. And then Coloft came into play. And Coloft was the first co-working space in Santa Monica. And I got to meet Coloft before Coloft was Coloft. My office with my sports company had a movie theater, so they came to one of my movie nights. I'd have community movie nights. They said, "We're thinking about building this co-working space. What do you think?" I'm like, "Oh, that sounds like an amazing idea." They were saying there's all these co-working spaces in San Francisco, and they seem so fantastic. So I got to go in there as the building was being built, and I was in there for all the initial meetings on how they were going to grow. And I remember saying, you guys got to focus on profit. You have to focus on profit." And they said, "No, we want to focus on community, everything else will work out." And they did exactly that. And I think because they had such a sincere focus on community, that's what led to them really pushing this LA tech space forward. Because, I mean, you know, early adopters, tech influences, we kind of create this wave of awareness throughout the rest of the country, if not the world. And so when you get even a handful of tech influencers exposed to something and excited about something, they let everybody know it exists. And I think that's what happened with Coloft, that bubble pee. And then Coloft partnered with Startup Weekend, and of course that became big, so they grew together. And you know, from there it was like a domino effect. It just kept going on and on and on. And you know, someone really pivotal in LA tech that I don't think gets enough recognition for LA tech specifically is Andrew Warner with Mixergy. He's dynamic, and he was doing events before I remember anyone. And he was figuring out what this LA tech space was all about. And now I think he's really become a spokesperson for the startup industry as a whole to have the most candid feedback on how to be successful in a startup.
Yep. And there's also Digital Hollywood too. Is that involved at all in your kind of community?
So you mean the conference?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Digital Hollywood is a part of LA Tech, but they do a conference. Whereas the reason I think those other three were the really key players are only because they do things so regularly throughout the year, monthly, if not weekly. Like there is always something happening with those three that I mentioned before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I remember correctly, Digital Hollywood is twice a year, right? Because I've been.
Yep.
And it's great.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And all those are great. Digital Hollywood. I know there's LA Disrupt. There's so many now. That's what's so crazy, you guys. There's so many. When did this happen?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, that and also hear what in October is Podfest, LA Podfest.
So yeah, are you going to that? I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited about that. I'm going to be doing a write-up for Tech Zulu on LA Podfest. I am so excited to be exposed to that one. And I hope that more people in the startup community will attend. I know right now they're focused really on comedians, it seems, and entertainment type podcasts. And I would love for the startup community to understand how dynamic the world of podcasting is.
So are you going to be coming out and hanging out with us in Dallas for Podcast Movement?
You know what? There's actually a same podcasting event. Do you know Influencer Economy with Ryan? It's a podcast, and he's doing an event in Santa Monica for podcasters on the same day as the event in Dallas.
I haven't heard about that.
So I had already been signed up to that one, but I definitely want to go to a Podcaster Movement.
Next year, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you mentioned something. You know that you're getting ready to go, and I know you've got a countdown clock on your launch page, which is good. One way to get into iTunes early is just to do a little quick 5-minute intro. The show's coming. This is the day it's launching.
Yeah.
And
I love that. Okay.
And you get that in your RSS feed, and then you submit that to iTunes because they typically take a day or two to get the show activated, but you can't submit it until there's something in your feed. So that's just a little tip that I tell people is if you know you're going to launch a show on a certain day, or even just, you know, you're going to launch it, that's a way to get your listing in iTunes so you're ready to go.
I just did that yesterday, you know, the new show that we were launching at Podcast One, and it works great.
Awesome. Thank you. I want to do that. I watch within the next 48 hours, you'll see that.
So, you know, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions here. We'll see how you've done your homework, because these are Todd, Toddisms. These are things that I worry about with new podcasters and people who are launching shows. So, number one, are you going to own your feed? Do you have your feed that's going to sit at wearelatech.com, or are you going to use someone else's feed?
I'm going to use, if I understand what you're saying, I'm going to use either Burberry or Libsyn.
Oh, okay. So, but the question is the...
It will be We Are LA Tech. Yeah, it will be a We Are LA Tech feed. Yeah.
Okay, good.
But
good.
Hosted with Libsyn or Burberry, yeah.
Okay, so hopefully you come to Blueberry. That's me.
Yeah. Yeah, and her site's on, I believe this is correct, WordPress. So yeah. I think you're looking at using Todd's plugin. Yeah.
Yeah, like I really think I'll be using Burberry and, if I remember correctly, PowerPress plugin.
Yeah, that's us. And if you need any help, I'd be more than happy to help you out. So
thank you.
It's exciting time for you, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, I always tell folks, own your brand, and then syndicate everywhere, you know. And Rob may have a little bit different opinion on that, but. He's a little bit in a different space than most podcasters are, but I think it's important to, it doesn't matter where they hear it, as long as they hear it where they know to go to find the source. And, you know, I'm a big fan of syndication and getting the word out. And, cause you know, it's all about exposure and building audience and building numbers. And at the same time, you want to continue to build page rank on your own website. And so I think you sound, you know, from just hearing what you've done so far, quite honestly, you've probably done about 90% more
than most people do
when they get started. And, you know, it's one of the things I really emphasize. You know, I wrote this book on podcasting back in 2005, and the majority of that book is, for a better word, extinct. You know, maybe from like chapter 3 forward, things have changed so much that not a lot of it's applicable. But there's a couple of sections in there that are about preparing and getting things right to launch. And a lot of the stuff that you've talked about today, I think you're going to be on track. I think you're going to do fine. With your show.
Thank you so much.
You know,
can I give a quick shout out?
Sure.
Because you know how in the beginning you were talking about female content creators?
Yeah.
And I'm really proud for two of my girlfriends, Amanda Kulong, who just launched the Bitcoin Weekly podcast, and my girlfriend Stephanie Burns, who is about to launch a podcast. She is the co-founder of Chic CEO. So she's launching a podcast for entrepreneurs as well. And I'm like, go girl.
That's great. That's fantastic. I mean, Todd is so right about we need to get more women involved in this space. And I mean, you're such a fire plug for enthusiasm in this space. And it's so unusual, and it's so, you know, it's so great to see that. And that's part of the reason why I wanted to get you on the show, is to kind of share that enthusiasm and your excitement for podcasting, because I think that there is a huge opportunity for women to be successful in this space. But it appears like there's so many technical challenges, and what you've said here today is clearly a real solid example of what the challenges are of getting a show started. It's not as easy as it needs to be or it should be.
Right.
There's so many decisions that have to be made, and it's such a complicated process. And I think that's what's so important about what you're doing, and what Todd and I try and do is we try and build a podcast community where we try and help people, you know, cut through that noise that they have to cut through to get to figure out exactly what they need to do and what they want to do, and to be able to get it done. And you're a classic, you know, example of how to do that, and to do it with enthusiasm and your infectious kind of way that you do things is going to make your podcast successful. And I think, you know, that's why I've been very successful very supportive of what you're doing, because I think it's really important. So
I appreciate it so much. Like I said, I've had things in my life that I've worked on that I'm grateful that they've been short stints in my life, but I have experienced what it feels like to not feel passionate about something, and it sucks. So this is way better.
And you know, and one thing too is, you know, in the stage of my life I was at, that when I started my show, time to me was, I guess, for better words, I didn't have enough time.
Right.
So there was a couple of decisions that I made early on that has followed through even to this day in the production of my show. I don't get wrapped around the axle too much on the editing part. Mm-hmm. For me, and you're going to find what kind of personality, or you know, you sound to me like you were really focused on editing a lot. And your first show, you probably have to do that because you've made some mistakes.
Well, you're trying to figure it out. You're trying to figure out how to stitch things together and how to fade in and out of things. Yeah. I mean, it's complicated at the beginning.
But once you get kind of in a rhythm or a battle rhythm and you're doing interviews, you know, my recommendation to you is to be prepared so that when you hit record, that when stop, you're done. And sometimes it is what it is. And if there's if there's a huge blunder in there, my gosh, go in there and edit it. But if there isn't, levelator it.
Totally.
Save it.
Totally.
And be done. Go on to the next thing.
And this is why it's so important for me to eventually find the right mic and use BossJock, because that's exactly what BossJock is for, is to minimize editing time, and to have the right mic is like crucial in this industry.
And you're going to be doing interviews at their location, so you're going to be dealing with a lot of different environments, rooms that don't have carpeting, echoes, you know, all this stuff that you're going to have to kind of learn as you go. It's going to be affecting, and you know, so you're going to find out very, very quickly that, or try to implement very quickly. Can we go someplace where it's not so noisy? Can we shut the door? Positioning of yourself, because you know, sometimes you're doing an interview, you want to look at the person and talk to them, you don't want them sitting beside you. That doesn't make a great dynamic. So, and the last thing you want to do is, you know, reaching around, turning the mic back and forth. So I think that the you know, the mic that you're going to starting off with is fine to begin with, but at some point you may grow to the point where each of you have a mic. And there's plenty of devices out there that have the ability to record two different channels at the same time. And, you know, I would ultimately probably look at that solution, because, you know, what you're going to end up with is you don't want to sound like you're on a conference call.
Totally. Yeah. And you know, and it's like at this moment, I completely agree, obviously. Yeah. And at this moment, I'm like, man, I need to learn how to like do channels and stuff. Like, I have no idea, but I'm sure I'll figure it all out.
Yeah. And I think that the challenge that you have is you want to be able to have more than two people.
Right.
Or two other people or more.
Totally. And it will always be two minimum, me and someone else. And then I'd love to have sometimes three, sometimes four. Maybe not more than four. I think that's too many, but including me, by the way. So
and that's a challenge from a portable recording situation, because most of the small portable recorders that are like battery operated and things like that really only have the capability of two inputs. So, you know, and that's that's going to be a challenge to find the correct equipment. And you may have to have a little bit larger kind of like mixer that you're going to have to bring with you that has probably three or four channels. But it shouldn't present any problem for you in your post-production. It's just a matter, you know, it's just funneling it all together into, you know, like your laptop or something.
And I always recommend at the beginning, software crashes, computers crash.
I'm scared. We should get a digital recorder with the H05.
Go with a digital recorder and, you know, it's, so if you're going to be using Boss Jock though, it kind of, it's going to be a challenge because then you're not going to be able to do what you want to do in Boss Jock with an external recorder. So it's another challenge that you'll have to do, but, I would do multiple, and you've done this already, but I would do multiple recordings to make sure that, this software is going to be stable and you're not 60 minutes in and all of a sudden it
freezes.
And believe me, it will happen to you once and you will want to scream. So no matter what you do, have something as a backup in the beginning.
Totally. No, I appreciate that. Yeah, I've watched in the YouTube videos and stuff that could happen, and it has been freaking me out.
Yeah. So, the folks from Zoom and Tascam all make some pretty good stuff. If you got a Guitar Center there, go talk to those guys and tell them what you need and what you want and what you're trying to do, or even the folks at B&H, you can call them and tell them this is a challenge you're having. And
B&H is great. I bought a camera from there for my sports company.
So, and they'll often give you advice. And there's also, podcast. Well, Rob's in LA. Rob can help you too.
I didn't mean to cut you off. The most important thing that I want to say at all is my mom is watching. I love you, Mom, and thank you for believing in me.
Hi, Mom.
Hello.
So I'm excited for you. I think this is going to be great, and I hope that your spearheading of this and your excitement is going to get the other ladies and females out there to say, I can do this too. And I think what's important, and you really hit upon it two or three times already, is passion.
Yeah.
You know, this is the biggest challenge with many content creators, and I've said this stat a million times. Most shows never get past episode 7. 50% of shows fail before episode 7. And number one, it's either a lack of passion, or number two, they're it's a instant gratification world, and they are not satisfied that they're not getting enough traction in just a few shows. I think your show is probably out the gate going to do very well because you've got great contacts. But at the same time, set your expectation. Don't get your if it happens and you go, you do a lot of numbers, great. If you don't, use the existing base of fans that you have to promote and to share, and it'll grow. Don't worry. And what I did with my show is I said 2 years to profitability. Now I was lucky. I was about 9 months to profitability. And not every podcaster can say that. But at the same time, I knew where I wanted this show to go. And as a matter of fact, my wife had said, you got a 2-year deadline. So she set the priority on the profitability of the thing. Because like you, I had a couple of ventures that, didn't do so well. And one that I absolutely love that I had to walk away from because it was just like, you know, when you buy a boat, a boat is nothing but just $100 bills you throw in the water. And I had this thing that was a boat, and I was just throwing money away, and it was stupid to do that. And even though I still to this day have a lot of passion for what that was, it just, when I become rich, then I'll do that again, where I can throw those $100 bills. But you know, the passion, you're going to do great. I'm not even.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, one video that I found really inspiring and encouraging was Cliff, podcast Answer Man, has a video that I found actually via YouTube. That was his podcast, but I found it via YouTube on sponsorship, like how to get sponsors. If you Google, you know, sponsorship podcast Answer Man, you'll find it.
Right.
It was really useful. It was probably an hour and a half or something, and I totally listened to the whole thing and I took notes.
Well, if you've listened to this show, we talk about money a lot.
I've been listening.
Well, I don't know
to
if we talk
like
about money specifically, but about strategies around sponsorship.
No, you know what's cool about this show is because I know nothing. You guys expose me to everything that I need to know that I don't know that I don't know. I every single time I listen to an episode, like everybody knows the question, how am I going to make money? But the true challenge is knowing the questions that you don't know to ask.
Right.
And so when I listen to this show, that's my biggest value is like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that that's something really important in the world of podcasting. I'm glad I know that now so I could go. And usually you follow up with like the solutions as well. And so, and you bring on like really epic people, like the Adam Carolla show, like what? Like that's amazing. And you talked about the Snooki podcast, which everybody wants to know the behind the scenes of the Snooki pod, you know? So I'm guilty. I've been listening to the Snooki podcast, but
it's a guilty pleasure, right? Yes.
Right. So it's almost like, don't tell anyone I look at TMZ, but every single episode I listen to I haven't found another resource for podcasting that so clearly represents all the things I have no idea to ask that are crucial to building a successful podcast.
You know, and I think Rob and I both, and I appreciate that as well, but I think Rob and I both sit here and sometimes go, oh, that was good. And I, you know, so we learn too, old dogs can be taught new tricks, and that's the only way that you stay relevant. And I keep like before the before this show started today, you know, I opened just a simple notepad and I've been writing things down here and I've loaded a bunch of links that you've talked about because we want to learn what you've had challenges with in your process. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, immediately comes to mind is, okay, we need to address the portability thing. We need to come up with some articles on that and be able to talk to folks that are going to be doing portable shows, or we'll reach out to the community and say, okay, what are you doing for your portable setups? And, you know, we have the ability to reach out to those folks and get some ideas. Because guess what? This has already been solved. We just need to talk to the right person and get the solution and refine it if it need to be. And one thing that I do appreciate that you have done is that you have been willing to do the research and put the time in to figure out what you want. So number one, you're not spending money needlessly, because I've got a bunch of stuff back there that I bought needlessly. You know, but you know, a lot of us made this, you know, we just didn't have a lot of resources to go through. So, and there's,
this is important, Todd. I have to be really upfront. So I'm putting everything into We Are LA Tech. I am self-funding it right now. I don't have the luxury to buy an extra. Yeah. I mean, I'm being so mindful because every day I ask myself, and I'm not just saying this to say this. I say, if I spend this money today, will it take away another day from my opportunity to pursue We Are LA Tech until it has a life it needs to be self-sustaining? Right. And it's not, I'm excited about this. So I don't want to rob myself of my own time to pursue the We Are LA Tech podcast. So yeah, I'm not about to go buy a bazillion dollar microphone because I don't need it today.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's smart.
Yeah, it is smart. I agree. I think you need to step your way into this. And there's a lot of ways that you can kind of throw money away going through this process, as Todd and I have kind of done over the years, because we're trying new things, right? We're experimenting, and it's not always easy to know what's going to work and what's not going to work until you start doing it and using it, and you may make a mistake in the future when you buy some hardware or something like that you think is going to work for you, and it's not, and it's tough to return.
And if you can't return it, if you can't return it, eBay it immediately. Don't hang on to it for 3 years and its value goes down. Yeah, like I did. So.
Yeah, yeah. But I think Todd, I mean your comment that her challenge in recording has been solved. It probably has to some degree. But I can also say that we tend to, and I think, Todd, you and I are kind of like this, common in this way, where we think about solutions before they exist, right? And it puts us in a situation where we're frustrated because we want to solve a problem, like Esprit wants to do four or five people, in a portable recording situation, but I don't know that that technology really exists yet. So,
in my mind, I can cobble it together, but she's going to carry a backpack of stuff into a studio, and it's going to be like clear a table, and
yeah, exactly, yeah.
And sometimes they don't have time to clear a table. They have 20 minutes for you, and that's it. And so as you you're just going to find out what works and what doesn't. But I guess, like you said before, keep charging forward. That is so critical. Don't get hung up in the details, and do it smartly. But you're already doing that, so I don't have to give
you guys
that advice.
We have to take a selfie. Ready?
Uh-oh, okay.
Ready? 1, 2. Just saying.
Awesome.
That's a first.
A first, Todd. I think that's a real first. A selfie on the new media show.
Better yet, I can do a selfie right here with just a push of the button. So everyone smile. And all right. So I just took a couple of screen grabs, and I can actually show us the selfie right now. Hang on.
That's awesome.
Okay, here it is. Here's a selfie we just took.
I love it. That's great.
So instant selfie.
So Esprit, what happens in 4 days, 22 hours, 54 minutes, and 3 seconds?
That is in 4 days, 22 hours. So I'm going to be going live with the first episode of the podcast. Where I will be going live is a different story, because I may keep it exclusive to the network that wants to hear it to get that feedback first. So I will take you up on your recommendation to upload a snippet on iTunes to just get that going. That's separate than what I already have. But I'm really excited to make sure it's being developed. And I want to give the community that privilege of seeing it beforehand, before it's like exposed to everybody. So I may just share it with some people and get that feedback, and then go live with it, and to have that feedback in mind. I'm not sure, it's 4 days of experimenting and seeing what seems best for it to be the most mutually beneficial outcome for both of us, me creating it and everybody listening.
So are you going to do, go ahead, Rob.
Oh, so does that mean that the first, the first show that you're putting together will be kind of like still a test show? Is that what you're trying to do? In your first real episode that goes into iTunes will be like the next one, or what you're thinking?
No, it will definitely be the first. It's just I'm playing with a lot of different things. So there's Patreon. I don't know if you guys have heard of that. It's where your fans support you to create fantastic content. So I had a meeting yesterday with Cole from Patreon, if that was the right route, because I want to make sure that it's right for everybody listening, that they want to be a part of the Patreon, that's the way that they want to do it. So I'm figuring that out, and I have 4 abundant days to figure out what's best for everybody. And maybe that's to go live, or maybe that's to share a private link with people. I'm not sure just yet. I have been really eager to upload anything into iTunes, so I'm glad you gave me that suggestion. But yeah, it's really 4 days of me exploring opportunities. Every hour of those 4 days, I really appreciate.
And you said you're going to go live, so you're going to do
Hangout? So on the podcast page, we are latech.com/podcast. So everyone who connects via that page, it will definitely receive what they connected with, and they will definitely for sure get that private link for positive.
I guess
so. Everybody that goes to wearelatech.com/podcast, for sure, they're getting something in 4 days, 22 hours, and et cetera seconds.
Cool.
So Spree, why don't you tell us a little bit about, what your focus is around what the content is going to be, more specifically. I mean, what's kind of the flow of the format, and what type of people are you going to be speaking with as your focus?
Totally. So I'll be speaking with LA startups, LA influencers, LA investors, LA organizations, anything LA startup related. But it is going to be a discovery process. So of course, it can only start with what I think it's best from having been here for a long time. I'm actually born and raised LA, even though I've traveled a lot and I've lived in Europe and all these places in between. I'm very much an LA girl. It's my opinion of what should be first, but I don't want it to be my opinion going on to the second, third, fourth, fifth episode. I want it to be what the audience wants. So I will be asking them, what do you want? And one thing that I particularly think would be really cool is what I was mentioning before, is those mentor sessions. So I'll find out, is that what you guys want? Every time. But I do know it will be focused on LA startups and everything related to LA startups. It could even be, when I was building my sports company, I was the worst workaholic. I didn't eat. I remember once my investors begged me to take a break. My investors begged me to take a break. I think maybe I'll have a podcast with a personal trainer and a nutritionist and find out how to have a healthy lifestyle as a startup entrepreneur, because I wasn't having that. And so I know that some of these things are challenged. So it's the LA startup lifestyle. It's LA startup community, LA startup resources, anything that will benefit an LA startup entrepreneur being the absolute best that they can be.
Being at kind of the center of the kind of LA tech startup space, being where the calendar is and things like that, are you feeling that there's going to be opportunity for that community to really come around you and support what you're doing, sponsor the show, really be actively involved in promoting your show? I mean, because you're currently doing things with the Tech Zulu folks, are they going to do some cross promotion for you? What's kind of your marketing strategy for the show too?
Totally. Well, Digital LA, I'm really grateful. They said they're excited to be a media sponsor. And Efren and I have been from Tech Zulu have been talking as well. So I'm sure they've been supportive of everything I do. So I feel like their support as I'm sitting in this chair. So I really, really want it to be about We Are LA Tech, that concept, that safe haven, not the Esprit show. And this is something that I've been struggling with, because I know that a lot of people feel that very connected to me as well. And I'm okay being there, but it's not about me. It's about you. You're listening. You're listening to this because you want to achieve something in your life. You have a dream. You want to be educated. You're listening because you feel inspired right now. For some reason that's important to your listening, and your time is valuable to me. So what I create needs to be what you want to hear that will make it worth your time.
One thing that I've found too is people are creatures of habit. So, I'm sure you've already thought about your production schedule, but also your format schedule and your format. Yeah. So as you develop your show format, and that's going to evolve over the first dozen or so episodes.
Totally.
Definitely try to maintain a semi-format. The flow always doesn't have to be exactly the same, but that format's going to help you, because people are going to kind of go, all right, you know, maybe she's going to talk initially about the person first, the business objective. You know, it's just whatever.
Interesting.
Yeah, whatever that kind of flow is. Yeah. And don't make too many big changes in the format as you go through, because it'll...
People, set expectations. Yeah.
And people are like, what's going on?
Well, because, yeah, I think, I mean, the whole concept of doing podcasting, it's creating a habit in people's lives, right? And people get very focused on hearing things when they are used to hearing things and getting what they're perceived, what they want from something at a regular cadence or a regular place. And I think that's kind of what Todd's talking about here is having a flow that's very consistent. And I think, you know, I've listened to your test shows and I think you're already kind of there.
Yay! So,
yeah.
I think I could improve it, though, because right now what my format is I have a blooper, I have an intro, and then I have a kind of community talk and then educational talk. I really want to – I already know that I want to move away from educational talk because I feel there's enough resource in this world for educational talk. But what I don't have, and I have just learned because you shared that with me, is in that main content area, what is my format there? Like, even if I don't say it, just knowing it or having it in my own computer, like how, yeah, I agree. So I don't know. I can't answer that because I just learned it from you.
It can be simple as a bullet point. You know, and it's your stack. And that's kind of how I refer to it is my stack. And there's certain things that the existing audience members probably, it drives them nuts, but I cover the same exact thing at the very beginning of every show. But it's not necessarily for them. It's for the new folks that are tuning in that have no idea what the show is about and what we do and when we publish and where to get it. And because I'm syndicated...
who you are, and what the host is.
Yeah. Hey, I did want to read something from the chat room.
Sure.
The chat room
says, this is exciting.
Amanda Cooling's Bitcoin News Weekly needs to put their podcast feed link somewhere more obvious. I'm having trouble finding it on their website. So maybe it's an iTunes only podcast. And then, this is an important thing too, is part of that discovery method is you got to have it, something there prominently on the website so that it says, okay, here's iTunes, here's my RSS feed. And actually in the next version of PowerPress that we're updating, we're actually going to help folks with a page. And I'm not even supposed to say this yet, but we're going to create, you've heard it here first. We are going to release, we're going to have so that it will make a page that people can go to, a landing page that has all the options on how to subscribe across the variety of different platforms, and make it easier for podcasts. Because so many times I go to podcasts or sites, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm at their site. Where's the podcast? Number one, they've got it buried in some subpage. Number two, how do I subscribe to this thing? Where's the email contact? Do they really want to engage me? No,
totally.
They don't. So, just like any other web design, you got 15 seconds to make an impression. And if I can't
connect,
and if I can't connect with you, I'm gone, you know? And if I had to push 5 buttons to find your first show, it's not good. That's not the experience you want for a listener. Because I want them coming back to Geek News Central, and you want them coming back to wearelatech.com. You want them to come there to find the show and to listen and subscribe and then take them with you on their mobile device, which is where you want them ultimately.
I have to tell you, it is so much fun listening to podcasts.
It is.
I mean, how many times have we wanted to listen to a YouTube video audio only, and then it's frustrating because maybe the app will shut or the Safari doesn't work, whatever, on the phone. Yeah. And a podcast is... it's so cool. And if you can't hear something because a car was honking, you could just rewind 15 seconds or whatever it is. It's just, and they're great. There's some great, great podcasts. They're fun. Like if you need a laugh, go to a podcast.
Yep.
If you want to be educated, go to a podcast. It's just, it's like you have a friend in your phone or something. And just having a great conversation.
Many friends, yes.
And it's not the same dude every hour talking about the same crap. You know, that's what radio is today. It's the same guy that's, you know, trying to, you know, it's, to me, it's, you know, crap radio is what I kind of refer to it. But, you know, if you need to feed your brain with good stuff, this is what, this is why this this is why this space took off when it did.
I particularly think, I don't know if you guys agree with this. I'm trying to get through all your episodes, which is like crazy.
Well, it'll take a long time.
I'm committed. I really think podcasting at the moment reminds me of YouTube in the beginning, where except that podcasting has a head start. And like, I know a lot of the original YouTubers and saw the trajectory of their careers. And I see as podcasting having that same success with that new kind of, I don't know. I think it's because I think podcasting came too early for technology and not everybody had smartphones and all this stuff yet. Yep, and now that everybody walks around essentially with the accessibility to a podcast, that it's ready for it. And it's exciting to be a part of podcasting right now. It's really exciting.
And I think you hit the nail on the head. In the early days, it was hard. You know, you had to have, you know, and I keep telling people there's life beyond iTunes. Like, you know, that's my favorite phrase right now. Is because, oh, you got to have any this and that. I'm like, no, you just play, you know, and it's easy, you know, you don't have to download, you don't have to sync, you don't have to you plug it into the computer. All that's behind us, and thank God.
So, Spree, I noticed something in your talk just a few minutes ago that I think is really, really an important point that every podcaster or anybody that wants to get into this space needs to think about is when you speak to your audience, you need to speak to them as an individual.
Yeah.
And I really saw you emphasize that just a few minutes ago where you were speaking to a person. And I think that's the key. And I don't, you know, Todd, you can jump into this too, but a lot of folks in broadcasting, just in general, tend to speak to audiences, right? And they have a way of speaking that gives the impression that you're just one of, you know, thousands of people, you know, to me. But in a podcast, it's, you know, you're in somebody's ear with an earbud, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't get any more personal than that. And then speaking to them as an individual. And I think you're really good at that. And I think that's going to make your show just really propel, because people are going to think that, you know, you're there just for them. And I think that's an important point.
I am there just for them.
And
to that note, if anybody does want to meet in person, if this is okay, I'm going to a podcasting class, as I mentioned, in Santa Monica in a couple weeks Influencer Economy host is doing, and I'm really excited about it, and it's a general assembly. So if you want to meet me in person, I will be there, and I would love to meet you.
And send me a link on that so we can put that in the show notes. You know, and Rob hit the nail on the head, and I have to remind myself even doing my show, because I do both video and audio. And oftentimes I'll be talking about a website I'm on, or I'm showing something on the screen, and I say, hey, in the back of my mind's like, hey, knucklehead, there's people that are not watching, they're listening. So change your tone and make sure you're talking to them. And even I, at 970 episodes on my regular show, I have to remind myself to do that. Because then people are like, man, he's just talking to people watching the video. He's not talking to me, and that can piss people off, and they can make them leave. So I have to remind myself continuously to do that. But, you know, there's really two things that I've always focused on my show, and it's actually the thesis of an article that I wrote that was in the Podtertainment magazine, and also now I've cross-posted after the magazine's been out 2 or 3 weeks here, is deliver value to your audience, which you're going to do each and every episode, respect their time, have fun doing it, and most important, maintain integrity and by being 100% open and honest. And if you can, that's number one of my you know, of my guidelines for my show and what I feel that's been successful. Number two, and you already are doing it, is administratively owning, controlling, and building your brand. Don't build someone else's brand. Now, you know, it probably brings up the SoundCloud discussion. I think SoundCloud's a great second destination. I think it's a great place for people to discover you. It's not a great place to promote. You can say in your show, hey, come over to wearelatech.com, but you can find me on SoundCloud. You can find me in iTunes. You can find me on blueberry.com. You can find me, you know, you can find me other places, but come back to wearelatech.com. And I feel that those two pieces alone, along with what you've already done in the planning and everything else, I think a big key to success of any content creator. And having content on your website on a non-podcast day is important too, in my opinion, as well. So if you're blogging, you know, blog something every day or every other day if you can.
Yep.
Totally. And you left out listening to your podcast, The New Media Show, is the best way to become the best podcaster. Let's not forget, you guys. Yeah.
You know, and not to discount, there's a lot of shows that are doing, you know, a lot of content. But Rob and I are not here to sell something to anyone. We're here to try to give advice. And you know, obviously, you know, I throw in once in a while that you can do something, but we're not here pitching a product. We're here trying to help podcasters advance their show. I think the delta is, and sometimes some of the other shows, they're selling you something. Sign up for my course, you know, this and this and this and this, and you can go to my site and get some product, blah, blah, blah. We try to keep that to a minimum. You know, Rob and I both work for two podcasting companies, but here we are, we're trying to bring great entertainment and information to the community. I think this is the best podcasting show in existence, but you know, that's my opinion.
Yeah, I think we're biased. But it's very possible that Esprit could have the best podcast here very soon.
Well, so. I mean, in our space, yeah. I'm excited about your show because these folks are going to be looking for different. Some of them are going to be doing Kickstarters. Some of them are going to be looking for a standard funding. Some of them have already been funded. Some of them be at the end of their life, almost their burn rate's almost gone. And this is going to be, I think it's going to be exciting. And I think it's, instead of talking, you know, entrepreneur shows, I'm a little.
Now that I wish you could see past the video.
And it's basically, I want to talk. I want to hear from people doing, not talk. I want to hear people that are doing a business or building a business, having struggles. I don't want to hear someone talking about how to do it. You know, if you get what I mean. So many of the entrepreneur shows, this is how you do this.
And here's the check, right?
Right.
I think the biggest thing that I think anybody listening right now should take away is to take a step. Like, let you guys, not to bore anyone, but let's just talk about me taking the step for this epic movie poster that I got made for my podcast. This is very important to discuss. So I was honored with the blessing to be on your show. And I'm like, well, what do I do? And so I had a digital flyer made on Fiverr. Oh. Yes, $5. And this digital flyer, I was like, oh, what if I can make it into a movie poster and put it behind me? That's now, remember, cool. I am on a budget, a conscious budget. So I called around and everything was ridiculously expensive. And I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. I must get this movie poster made. So, I posted to my Facebook network, like, does anybody know the best place to get a poster made? Ended up finding this amazing place that actually had done my business card, so it worked out, called SBL. I just didn't know they did movie posters. And it's, I'll give you guys the link. And it is, come on, it's awesome, right?
It is awesome.
Yeah. It is awesome. I want to walk around the streets with the movie poster. Like, check
sandwich
out
board,
podcast.
Right? It could be on both sides. Get a sandwich board and just walk up and down, you know, the streets of LA.
What, Rob? What was that, Rob?
I said, make it into a sandwich board and just walk up and down the streets of Santa Monica.
Well, just send me a digital copy of that, and we'll put it in the show posting today, too.
Yeah, so. I will send you the digital copy. I am so proud of this. But my point in sharing my excitement is anything is possible. I found the artist on Fiverr, so that was $5, and I'm happy to share the links. I found a place to get an affordable movie poster made that's high quality, so it's awesome. And I was creative. I literally, when I discovered that I would have this amazing opportunity, I'm like, what can I do to really support me in the success of this podcast? I'm like, I could have something that has, and I had this made specifically because I knew I'd be sitting in front of a blank wall, and that's just no fun. So, yeah. So take action. Take a step every day. Be creative.
Fiverr, is it F-I? Is it like fiber, like Metamucil, or what's?
No. It's F-I-V-V-E-R. It might be F-I-V-E-R-R. Yeah, I always misspell it, but you could find it.
I think it's Fiverr. Yeah.
And you know, regularly I test out different Fiverr contractors to see you could hire anybody for $5 and you look through their gigs to see what they offer. And the thing that if you do end up using Fiverr, please be appreciative of these people. They're doing really outstanding work. They are human at the other end of that digital line. And I think it is really important to value that they just did something awesome for you for $5.
Yeah.
And not to take that lightly. And so if I ever request a change, I sometimes will spend another $5 because listen, $5 isn't a lot of money. And these are human beings like that are doing amazing work, putting their heart. Most of the people on the site are incredibly talented artists. They're content creators themselves, and they're just trying to, get by and make building content a little bit more sustaining. So value them. But anyway, so had SLB, I'll send you the link, printing in on Robertson do this movie poster, and I had Fiverr do the artwork. And best is when I first got the artwork, I was like not sure about it because it's super colorful. But I had decided I would just take a step forward and use it anyway. And it worked out great. So note to like putting perfection to the side, because again, my opinion is only one out of many. So now I love it because, you know, my whole community liked it everywhere.
In all honesty, you know, I can't believe you got it done for $5.
Yeah. But not the poster, the artwork.
I know the artwork. Yeah. I can't believe you got, that's what I meant. I can't believe you got the artwork done for $5. Yeah. I'm like, you know, because it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's almost free. Yeah.
And the guy who did the artwork, so nice, like so nice. When I was printing the poster, I said that I needed a larger size, and he was so nice about it. I'm telling you, it's just, sometimes I think in our culture, we forget that the person on the other side of an email chain or a comment thread or something is a human being.
Yeah.
And I would, if I was a philanthropist, the one thing I would want to encourage in this world is remember, we're all human beings doing the best we can. And we all have different histories and life experiences, and to share gratitude will just make the world a happier place. I know that sounds so hokey, but
no, I understand.
We forget.
Yeah, we do.
It's true.
And the digital, and you know, because people will say stuff digitally that they would never say to your face. Well, very cool. You've done the whole 90 minutes. We're here almost here at the end. Actually, I think we're almost over at this point. So,
yeah.
Wow. Okay. So, just so everyone knows, as we get ready to wrap up here, you're going to want to go to wearelatech.com/podcast and sign up and get the event notice or whatever she's going to deliver to you in 4 days. What is the 4 days and
22 hours, 27 minutes, and 26 seconds.
So, I'm excited about your show and what you're going to do, and look forward to subscribing and listening. And also, being an example that we can, you know, basically say, hey, ladies, and here's another gal that's done some stuff. And I think it's you may find that you may have a sub show with this, just talking about the entire experience itself. So it's going to be cool. I think this is going to be a great show. And Rob, wow. Good. Yeah,
it's great. Yeah. Great. I wish her the most luck with this thing, and I mean, we'll continue to be supportive in ways that we can, and
yeah,
and you know, feel free to reach out to us, you know, anytime with, you know, if we can help with anything.
Thank you so much, and this opportunity is incredible, and I'm really excited to listen to more and more. I listen to them when I wake up in the morning. So more and more of your episodes, because I really learn so much every single time of things that I had no idea about. So it's fantastic.
And you know, and we're trying to bring on, you know, obviously people that are successful in the space, are exciting folks, are getting started like you. And we, you know, and even Rob and I bring on YouTube folks too, so we can find out what's on the other side of the fence, because this is the new media show. It's not 100% podcast centric. And we want to make sure to, you know, bridge that divide. And, you know, you've got the advantage that you've done the YouTube space already to a certain extent. So you kind of know the process that you had over there. So,
you know, the Fine Brothers had a podcast as well, right? The Fine Brothers are one of the top YouTube channels, and they had just a podcast.
I don't even know who they are.
Yeah, I could connect you guys.
And so often the YouTubers run in a, it's like there's
completely
this,
different runway. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. It really is.
Yeah. And it's really unusual where those paths cross.
Yeah.
And I think we'd love to have it cross more on this show too. So it'd be great to have, you know, potentially have those guys on the show would be great.
Because I think some of the YouTubers would make fantastic podcasters, but they're like, yeah, I'm on YouTube. Why do I need to do a podcast? That's what they generally say.
Because you don't have to edit video.
Well, you know, and some, yeah, exactly. Some of them have actually been recruited to be on, you know, like the Sirius and XM satellite radio network. You know, so some of the big radio networks are starting to recruit YouTube celebrities to do shows. I'm just not sure that being on XM and satellite radio network is a great place for a YouTube celebrity to be. I think they're much better off in the podcasting space.
And you're also limited by those that you can reach on that satellite and the subscribers here.
That's exactly why.
It's a worldwide audience. So.
Yep.
Okay. Well, this is bringing us to the end of the new media show. We want you to follow our guest as well. And go ahead and give everyone the 411 on how they can reach you.
Sure, just tweet. We are latech.com. You're always welcome to email me at esprit@espritdevora.com. And if you Google Esprit Devora, I'm sure there's tons of other ways you could get in touch. But and then you've heard the podcasting site multiple times. We are latech.com/podcast. And yeah, I really care about you and want to make sure to create the most incredible content together. So I appreciate all your feedback, and I'm excited.
And of course, Rob, any closing comments for today?
No, I think, you know, off to podcast movement next weekend, and Esprit is going to be off to her own podcast event in LA. So I think, you know, we're all going to be occupied next weekend. So we're not going to be doing a show next week.
Yeah.
No. Oh yes. Come meet me in person. I would love that. If you guys live in LA, come, I'll give you guys the link. It's I think it's August 14th in Santa Monica at General Assembly. Influencer Economy is doing a how to podcast course, and I'm already signed up and excited to go. And it'd be so cool if you guys would join me.
And those of you that want to go to Podcast Movement, time is running out. They are almost sold out. So podcastmovement.com, which will be in Dallas next weekend. They're probably, you know, it's going to be a great event, Rob. I'm really excited with what they've got going on over there. And of course, we'll talk about it on the following week when we get back. So yes, no show this coming week. And if you are going to Podcast Movement, we want you to come meet the advertiser. We're going to have two gentlemen that are heavily involved in buying advertising in the podcasting space right now that'll be on a panel that I'm going to be moderating. And of course, then Rob, you're moderating a panel on?
To Podcast Network or not.
Right.
So, and Todd's on that panel too, and Mr. Mike Chaffee from Corolla Digital is going to be on there, and we're just going to cover whether or not, you know, you as a podcaster should join a network or stay independent. I think those are important questions that every podcaster needs to think about at some point in their show development.
Or do both, which is an option as well.
You can do both.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So if you have feedback, please. And I know we've been getting some. Actually, I think we had an email that came in. Ooh, was there something I was supposed to say about that? I'm being prepared here this morning, obviously. Oh, no, we had some folks asked to be on the show. So we'll be reaching out to those folks if we feel that we've got a spot for you on the show. Anyway, then this will wrap us up. Todd@newmediashow.com or Rob@newmediashow.com. Send your feedback. And, of course, you can find the show at newmediashow.com. Template is still coming, Rob. That's a whole other story. So, everyone, thanks for being here today. And from beautiful, sunny Honolulu, non-hurricane central, everyone take care. Thank you so much for being here. Take care. Aloha.
Aloha.
Bye.